I want to begin at the end of today's reading. This is His commandment, God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as God has commanded us. We should believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and we should love one another. This is rooted in the statement of Christ Jesus when he was asked, what is the greatest and most important commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you are truly loving God, you will believe in God. You will have faith in God. You will trust God. The word here that is translated believe really means to exercise faith, to have active belief, belief that isn't passive, belief that changes lives, belief that changes us. So here, John, in his first letter, is saying, have active belief, faith that is alive and active. So that's the first statement. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that faith is focused in on the name. The name of Jesus Christ. And that's a strange statement to make. The name of Jesus Christ? What does that mean? In the ancient world, names had meaning. They have meaning today. But names, especially in the ancient world, had meaning. Here are some names that may be familiar to us. Christopher. It means the bearer of Christ. Richard. Brave ruler. Uh-oh. John, God is gracious or a gift of God. Paul or Paula, small, humble, and meek. I think that got a little bit reversed. Both in Paul the Apostle and in our own administrator's name. Peter means rock. David, star of the sea. Gael means a foreigner or one who is cheerful. Sylvia, one who is from the woods. She didn't like that one in first service. Keith, man from the forest. Michael, one who is like the Lord. Uh-oh. Alan means cheerful, handsome, rock, and noble. Jesus' name, Yeshua, means Yahweh saves, Yahweh delivers, Yahweh rescues. To believe or exercise faith and trust in the name of the Lord is to depend upon God to deliver us, depend upon God to rescue us, depend upon God to save us from ourselves, from our own ignorance, from our own stupidity, from our own inaction. Faith in the name of Jesus is trusting in God to deliver us, to rescue us. With that in mind, let's take a look at love. If faith is in many respects love in action, in other words, to love God means to have faith in God, to trust in God, and in God to deliver us, then to love one's neighbor as oneself, to love another, means to place that faith in God into action by expressing the deliverance of God to others. Now look back at the beginning of the reading for today. We know love by this, that God laid down God's life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Ooh, that's tough. Some people have a problem with the idea that God would send the Son to die for us. That they think it's a bloodthirsty conception. The Father demands blood from His own Son. No. It's God, God's self, coming to live with us, to experience life with us, to find out what it means to be one of us, to experience the joys and the happiness, the pain and the anguish, the reality of being human, to understand what drives us, what tempts us, what calls us and directs us to stumbling and to sin and to injustice, to see it, to experience, to know it, and then, having experienced and known it, to then take the punishment that we merit, the penalty, the guilty verdict that we deserve, the sentence that has been laid on us, and say, no, I will take the penalty instead of them. I will take the death sentence in their place. God coming to lay down the very life of God for us, dying for all of us in our place, for you and for me. God comes to live and to give God's self and to die for us in our place. We should give ourselves for others, John says. We should give ourselves for others. We should be willing to take their place. That is the kind of love we are called to have. The word love here is agape in Greek, and agape love is a very particular kind of love. You've got several different kinds of love in Greek. You've got eros, which is sexual love. You got phileo, which is brotherly love. We get the name of the city Philadelphia from that word, phileo, philia, to like or to love in a brotherly sense, in a sisterly sense. But then there's agape, the highest divine form of love, the kind of love that can be typified by this statement: I consider your needs to be essential, if not more important, than mine. I consider your needs to be more important to my happiness than my own needs. I consider you to be more valuable than myself. I consider your wants, your needs, your desires to be of principal importance, more so than my own. That's agape love. The kind of love that reaches beyond the self and loves the other because of the nature of the lover, regardless of the worthiness of the lovee. That is agape love. It is the kind of love that God had for us in coming in the form of Jesus and taking our place and the penalty we merit, and dying for us so that we might never fear death eternal. That is the kind of love spoken of here, and we're called to have that for others. Now, it would be great if John quit there. That'd be easy. Nice, philosophical, nebulous, doesn't really get too close to where we are. It's one thing to talk about laying down your life for someone else, but you don't often see that, you know. And then he has to start meddling. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Oh. Now, it's not unreasonable. He's not saying help even beyond your ability. He's saying that if you truly have love, if the love of God truly resides in you, then you, if you have the world's goods, if you have the resources, you should be reaching out to others who are in need. It's a rhetorical question, and yet it's not. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help. Not I can't help because I don't have the goods or I don't have the resources, but you've got the resources, you've got the goods, and yet you're refusing help. If you're refusing help, you don't have the love of God abiding in you. That's the conclusion to be drawn. Now, where does this meet the road? Where does the rubber meet the road here in this passage? The United Methodist Church at General Conference last year stated that as a denomination, we are going to make immigrant justice, immigrant rights, forefront amongst our social justice stands. We're going to take a stand for the right of the migrant, for the right of the immigrant, for the right of the sojourners in the land, for those who are amongst us with or without documentation. We're going to make immigrant rights an important plank in our social justice ladder. Now, what does that mean for us here today? We live, this church lives, in a pocket, in a zone, where you might have second, third, and fourth generation U.S. citizen Hispanics, but you have many who are fresh to our society, new, having recently moved here, some of whom who do not speak English, many of whom do, many of whom who have documentation, some of whom do not. We as a United Methodist Church are called to speak love, grace, and peace to all and to welcome all into the family of God. And that includes people who don't speak English and people who don't have our culture and people who may not have our own documentations. I have a friend, a really good friend. She's from Russia. She came to America 7 years ago. Moved to the United States, came in legally, went through the process, is now a United States citizen. She filed for her daughter, who is also an adult, to come to the United States. This daughter got in line to come in several years after her mother got here. Now her mother is a citizen and she is sponsoring her daughter. When her daughter got in line to get the documentation to immigrate to the United States, the wait for a visa was 3 years. 5 years have passed since that date. The daughter's still waiting in line. And the wait is now 5 years to go. In other words, she's going backwards in line. It's not just she's standing still. She's going backwards in line to immigrate legally. Where's the justice in that? Written to senators, written to members of the House of Representatives, written to the State Department, asking for changes in the rules and the regulations regarding immigration. Good, fine, you're supposed to do that. Of course, nothing has happened. But that's one good step. What else can be done? I must admit, I suggested that the daughter get on a plane and fly to Mexico and drive across the border and get in that way. She had a lawyer who recommended she do that. My sisters and brothers, justice is difficult to get your hands on when you're dealing with things like immigration, the sojourner in the land. But we are called to remember and to recognize that we were once aliens in this land. And we were welcomed. And even though we abused that welcome, we are here. And we are called to welcome others into this wonderful land that God has given us. May we as the people of God be about showing the love of God to others. May we as the people of God be about exercising the love of God to others and welcoming all. Even right here in this community, reaching out to the people beyond these walls. We are a regional church. We pull from all over the Metroplex for our members and people who visit us. But we have a mission field. That mission field is right May we prayerfully share the love of God with all.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries.
Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved.
For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.